Thank you very much there, Mr. Rue. Right now we got 48 degrees in Randolph and Guilford County. I guess we better enjoy today because the rain is on the way, and it's going to be here for at least a couple of days with us. Nicole heading up our way from down around Florida. Anyway, weather brought to you today by the great folks over at Chick-fil-A. You know them, you love them, you got to have it. I think we're getting ready to send Tim Moody over there so he can get me and Dr. Ganey a couple of chicken biscuits this morning. They are delicious. Chick-fil-A, two locations to serve you, East Dixie Drive, and, of course, over in Ashboro Mall, too. Hey, Doc, how's it going?
Doing fine.
Good, good. Dr. Stephen Ganey, superintendent of Randolph County Schools, our special guest this morning. And, Doc, before we get into some other things, we're going to talk about, and we knew this was going to come around, about COVID-19's impact on public education. There was a survey that was held January through May of this year. The survey went to 800 to 850 public schools, principals, administrators, superintendents, and staff. And just want to lay some of these numbers on you and see if you can give us a response as far as how this relates, do you think, to Randolph County schools. One thing that came up, it negatively affected students' development. The survey said 80% of public schools reported stunted behavioral and socio-emotional development in their particular students, directly tied to COVID-19. Have you seen that in Randolph County?
Well, I think there are some adjustments that are having to be made now that we have got back into school as we knew it prior to March, I guess it was 14, 2020, was that Saturday when schools were closed initially. When children are removed from the routine of school and the school climate, which they were so used to for the way they were over the past 2 years, as far as, you know, not, you know, the first year, the A day, B day schedule. And then last year, in my opinion, may have been even more difficult because kids were in and out of school, staff were in and out of school, and that had an impact on our children. Obviously it did. What I've chosen to do is and tried to stress is here we are, we're where we are, and let's move forward and try to get better from where we are. Obviously, we have there has been learning loss. I mean, that's when you lose that as much school as we did, and then the school we had in person was interrupted the way it was from time to time with people being removed from school to be put on quarantine. And from exposures to actually getting COVID or having symptoms, that's going to have an impact. But we've worked to say this is our new baseline. Here's where we are, and let's move forward. And that's what we're trying to do as a school system.
And a couple of other things here, some numbers here: a 56% increase in classroom disruptions from student misconduct, 49% increase in rowdiness outside of the classrooms. Your principals, have they seen, does this correlate to our particular area?
Well, you know, I'd have to, you know, that data is aggregate data from many different
sources.
Of course. So, you know, we're going to continue to work with our principals and our staff to address issues that arise. And you know, again, it's where we've chosen to start from is this is our new baseline. This is where we are. We last year was many ways when we went back 5 days a week in 21-22, I was excited, and then some of the things that happened with the pandemic made it equally difficult, if not more difficult, compared to the previous year. But at any rate, we have a new baseline in many areas, whether it be academic performance, whether it be students adjusting back to the school routine. We have a new baseline, and that's what we've chosen to focus on.
And also, something else we have to bring up here, as far as the teachers are concerned. Teaching's a tough job.
Yes.
I think everyone would agree with that, and particularly over the last 2 years. Now, once again, this is aggregate. You're exactly right. This is a national survey that we're talking about here. But I think pretty much nationwide, one thing that is really a concern right now is the lack of teachers and the lack of folks going into the teaching profession. And some of these directly associated with COVID actually kind of spell that out. For instance, they reported 74% having administrators have to come in and cover some classes for them. 71% non-teaching staff had to cover classes. 68% other teachers cover classes during their prep periods. And 51% separate sections and classes combined into one room. So these numbers, like you said, it's a new baseline. What are we going to do to get things back to where they were?
Well, we have to continue to make this a attractive profession. There's a lot of conversation about workforce issues, and that is an issue. Workforce is an issue with us. I will tell you, there was a lot of areas in the school workforce, the teaching positions that have been growing concerns for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And for instance, people have talked for years about math, science, exceptional children positions, but the elementary school teacher positions have been the number of vacancies have been growing for 7 or 8 years. So we have a workforce issue, and the challenge is continuing to make this an attractive profession, and we need children to want to go into this profession and even people who maybe make mid-career changes and just continuing to support our universities who are providing the training for future teachers and future administrators. Teaching is a difficult job, mm-hmm. and being an administrator is a difficult job. There's no question. They are difficult jobs. They're also some of the most rewarding jobs you could ever have. So we just have to continue to work to promote the profession, and because we have children that we have to take care of to give them opportunities for bright futures when they leave us.
And you're exactly right. It can be a very rewarding profession as far as that's concerned. I know my wife ran into a former student that she had, back in the dinosaur age at some point. And, the kid stopped her and told her what a difference that she had made in his life as far as that was concerned. However, you got to say this, when it comes to teachers, I know pay comes up all the time, but there's a lot more than just pay. I think classroom size really comes into play. Is there any rule right now in the county or in the state as far as classroom size is concerned?
Yes, there is one. There is a statewide classroom size rule. It's for grades K through 3.
Mm-hmm.
And, 6-7 years ago, that class size was 21 for K through 3. It has never been applied at state level for grades 4 through 12.
Uh-huh.
And then they implemented a new rule, which is class size for kindergarten is 18, first and second grade is 16 is first grade, and second and third grade is 17. I think I've got those numbers right. So they moved that down. My concern way back at that time was, what about grades 4 through 12?
Sure.
What about those grades? That's never had – the state has never had that rule in my time for grades 4 through 12, but there has been a K-3 class size.
But I know they're
required to honor that.
There are situations, like you said, from the 4 through 12, where you hear these stories about teachers coming in with 35, 40 students in a classroom, running out of desk, running out of supplies – straight from the get-go, right off the bat, what can we do to combat this?
Well, we have to continue to look at how we do schedules and trying to keep them as low as possible once we address what we're required to do with the law. I mean, the class size rule is a law, and it we don't have any workaround around that. Again, it was like, it used to be 21, and then it went to the 18, 16, 17, 17.
Work yourself into a catch-22 situation, because we kind of mentioned a while ago about the shortage of teachers, mm-hmm. Particularly at the elementary school level. So now you're lowering class size, but you can't find teachers. This is a lose-lose situation, seems like.
Well, and we have to just keep our focus on what our responsibility is, which is trying to take care of children the best we can with the resources we're given. And our resources come from the state based on numbers of students, and that's where budgets start. But, we do have to go in and honor that. That is in legislation, that class size rule.
Okay, so we're going to let you off the hot seat for a little while here, okay? Let's talk about something. I remember, like I said, during the dinosaur ages when I would ride the bus, which was always an adventure. But anyway, we won't get into that. a lot of times the bus would break down. I mean, buses are machinery. Things are going to happen. Let's face it. And sometimes my parents really didn't know exactly when that bus was going to show up. But you have a new app coming out now that's supposed to take care of this problem, right?
Yes, we have an app that went live Monday the 7th. It's Here Comes the Bus. There is a video of how parents can engage with this app. It's on the school system's webpage and also on our social media sites as well, and it gives the parents directions on how to access this app, and it will give parents an opportunity to kind of monitor where their child's bus is. Is it late arriving in the morning, or is it late arriving in the afternoon? So hopefully this will continue to be another source of giving information to parents and just trying to continue to create that partnership between us and parents, you know, as far as, you know, the partnership is focused on one thing, and that is taking care of children every day, mm-hmm. whether it's during the school day or getting them to and from school. So I think this is another opportunity for us to increase that partnership. Our parents have always been very supportive of our school system, and this hopefully will give them another source of information that they can, that helps them support us more and support their children as well.
And sounds like a pretty cool app too, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, Wendy Anderson and her staff, Wendy Anderson, Director of Transportation, Jamie Smith, Assistant Director and staff, have worked really hard on this, and very excited about what they do every day as far as the plans to get children to and from school. It's they work very hard, and they're behind this a great deal and feel like this is a good resource. So very excited to see how it works in our system.
And I want to mention a couple of things on the calendar. First of all, early release date on November the 17th. This coming Friday, of course, is Veterans Day. And Thanksgiving, Thursday and Friday before Thanksgiving. So be sure to write those. This has been an interesting week as far as the calendar has it. Let's see. The kids went to school Monday, didn't go to school yesterday, go to school today, Thursday, and then off again on Friday.
Yes, and we made a teacher work day yesterday because several of our school sites are used as polling sites. And so we've been a long way into this year. That was our first teacher work day because the September 30, I think, was the Friday because of the hurricane that came through. That wasn't a planned teacher work day. It was turned into an optional teacher work day when we had to shut down because of the weather. But this was yesterday was our first teacher work day of the year. But we typically we'll put a work day on the election day because we have so many sites that are used for as polling sites. So.
And one thing we want to do, before we wrap it up this morning, we want to mention some personnel announcements that we have, some congratulations to some folks, and a couple of sports teams have done very, very well, haven't they?
Yes, Randleman Middle School softball team went undefeated, and they won the conference championship, middle school championship on October 28th. At Southwestern Randolph High School, and then Southwestern Randolph Middle School's football team went undefeated. And at Trinity High School on October 29, they won the middle school championship. And I also want to congratulate Joshua Dickens, who was he's band director at Trinity High School, for his receipt of the Ed Rooker Encore Award. He's been with us. This is his fourth year with us, and it was an award given to a band director with fewer than 7 years of experience who's making great contributions in the area of band and at the high school level.
And congratulations to all those folks. And once again, if you're looking for a job, a part-time job, whatever the case may be, go on the website, Randolph County Schools. You can see some listings on there. You can also hook up a link on there to Where's the Bus? And that sounds very interesting. I think I may hook that up to the bus driver that comes in here at about 7 o'clock every morning. So anyway, Dr. Gainey, once again, an absolute pleasure having you with us today. Tim Moody, the spin doctor, here with us today also. We appreciate him coming in as always. And I want to wish both of you a very, very happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
And once again, it is happy Thanksgiving. We're not going to say happy holidays, and we're not going to play any Christmas music until after Thanksgiving this year, okay? We're going to get that out of the way. Anyway, thank you guys for coming in. We really do appreciate it a whole lot. 9:22 at the zoo.